Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Well, a lot of people had some rough weekends, but I don't think anybody had a better weekend than Christopher Arthur Canty, who's here this morning.
Let's go, Lake Show. Let's go, baby.
He has got a bounce in his step, to say
yes,
the least.
Yes, and I'm one game closer to you gifting me a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue. Now, I put the offer out there yesterday, but I'm going to let the listeners in on our little wager. I told you if you wanted to tap out early with our bet, me going with the Lakers, you going with the Memphis Grizzlies, if you want to tap out early and give me a bottle of Michter's Bourbon instead of Johnny Walker Blue, I would gladly accept it. But that's on you, big fella.
Yeah, no, I know. And right now, no. I think it would be a gutless way out on my part for me to do that. Now, if you tell me that Ja's not playing in game two.
Or smart, because you'd be saving $50.
Well, if Ja ain't playing in game two, we might have a different answer tomorrow. Anyway, let's roll.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Reeves for three straight away.
Good! There was a Lakers spread everywhere in the half court. Reeves up top by himself, makes it a six-point game.
And game one is all Los Angeles. The final, 128-112.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. That game ended in an ugly fashion for the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know that it could end much worse from the standpoint of losing Ja Morant midway through the fourth quarter to then seeing the Lakers go on a 15-0 run to end the game. Ja's out of the game, and they're still hanging around. They're still right there until that run at the end. Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura. That was the game plan. Let them shoot, and they beat the daylights out of the Memphis Grizzlies yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the Lakers bench being able to gift you 39 points, and of course Hachimura having 29 of that, but when you have that kind of depth and you have the position versatility that the Lakers do with their guys 2 through 4, then all of a sudden you're going to find the hot hand, and that's exactly what LeBron and the rest of the Lakers did. They found Austin Reeves cooking in the fourth quarter. They found Rui Hachimura in different spots in the games, and he was able to knock down open shots. And we talked about this coming off of the play-in game against the T-Wolves. That was one of the worst shooting performances from the supporting cast that we had seen from the Lakers, and there were question marks on whether or not these guys would be able to step up and make big shots because these guys had not been in this spot. They had not played playoff basketball. Like, Rui Hachimura was with the Wizards. He ain't seen a lot of playoff basketball. Austin Reeves, young player, hadn't seen a lot of playoff basketball. Like, you were wondering how these guys would respond, and you got exactly what you were looking for in terms of what Rob Pelinka was trying to reshape this team into at the trade deadline.
But somebody wasn't surprised. LeBron James wasn't surprised. Listen to him after the game when he was asked about Austin Reeves' performance.
It's not surprising to me. I knew from the first practice that we had when we grabbed him that he wasn't going to be a two-way player for long. But then a couple of weeks went by, I knew he was going to get a guaranteed contract at some point. I just know I've been around the game long enough to know great basketball IQ players. And I know the type of players that fit with my game. And I knew Austin would be that right away.
Oh, dear God, stop. We did not know that Austin Reeves was going to be this. LeBron has taken credit for everything last few weeks. And look, I get it. Austin Reeves did a great job yesterday. I mean, this is how demoralizing it is. In the fourth quarter, listen to this. On the floor, Austin Reeves hitting shots, and I have to hear this.
Well,
I mean...
Why can't Austin Reeves have some confidence, man?
He can have some confidence, but I'm saying that's how poorly things went late in the game. And I'm not knocking Reeves. He had a great, great
performance. How poorly things went for the Grizz?
For the Grizzlies, yes.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know that the Ja Morant injury affects how the Grizz play defense. I mean, where the hell was Dylan Brooks?
Dylan Brooks did not have a good day.
Where the hell was Desmond Bane? Like, I mean, even if you're struggling offensively, you can always hang your hat on the defensive side of the court.
Well, they said.
Jaren Jackson, who's supposed to be defensive player of the year, like, Where are you defensively in terms of Austin Reeves being able to get some of those floaters in the lane?
But they talked about the fact, first of all, Jaren Jackson had a really good game on both ends. I'm not going to knock him. He didn't take bad fouls. He did what he was supposed to do. You want to knock the other two defensively, that's fine. But they said after the game, we're going to let those two guys beat us. Let's see if they can do it again.
I'm not going to say anybody had a good game when you were held scoreless in the last 2 minutes and 40 seconds of the game. I don't give a damn that you had 30 points. That doesn't matter to me. Do you show up when your team needs you to show up? And without Steven Adams, without Brandon Clark, without John Morant, who's got to be the guy? It's got to be 3J, and it's got to be Desmond Bane. And both of those guys were MIA. You might as well put them on the back of a milk carton. Here you are coming up with all of these excuses for the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm tired of it. Give the Lakers their flowers.
The Lakers did a great job.
They did a great job on both ends of the court. Why are we disparaging Austin Reeves? This is a guy that played really good basketball in the absence of LeBron James after the All-Star break. He did. The Lakers are 17-7 since the All-Star break. Guess what? Austin Reeves is a big part of that.
Yeah,
he's a huge part about it. So I'm not surprised that he was able to make shots in the fourth quarter. I'm not. There was a question mark on whether or not he could do it. But based on what I had seen with this team and how it was constituted in the absence of LeBron James, those guys logging those minutes down the stretch in the regular season, which was essentially playoff basketball for the Lakers, no margin for error for this team. Yeah, I'm not surprised that some of those guys, even though they hadn't been in those spots, could step up and make shots. I'm not.
Now, the guy you should be giving more credit to, AD was terrific yesterday. I'm not going to knock that.
Man, he made me hold my breath in the second quarter, dude.
I know.
I mean, when he's going out with the shoulder injury, the organization calling him a stinger, I was scared as hell.
He said, I'm not moving my arm. I understand all that. Second half, he was great.
He was great.
He absolutely did everything he was supposed to do. Listen, at halftime yesterday, it was the nightmare scenario for the Lakers. Like, you could have been looking at the potential of their playoff run being over before it even started. But instead, AD's out there starting the second half and made his presence felt. I thought he was great defensively, especially early. I thought he did everything he needed to do. I don't think it's a bad defensive game plan for Memphis to say, if Rui Hachimura is going to shoot like that and score 29, I mean, let's see him do it again. But Memphis has got their hands full right now. Am I tapping out on our wager yet? Because of what we saw yesterday. Well, I'll tell you what. After the game, this gave me pause. Listen to Ja Morant after the game.
Very tough. Stressful. Obviously, I feel like, you know, you guys can tell with, you know, my body language and stuff now, you know, how I'm pretty much, you know, taking, you know, what happened. And I don't know, man. I'm just, you know, pretty much numb to everything now. It's like, I'm not even surprised. It's one thing after another.
You can point to any number that you want all along about the Lakers winning game one. They're like 24-2, something like that.
Yeah.
Or with LeBron.
27-2.
27. Dear God, I'm sorry that I shortchanged them.
Yeah.
The point is, they're rolling in those scenarios. Point for me, that bothered me the most of anything. That sounded like a defeated individual. It sounds like it's very much in jeopardy for game two. And Chris, we have talked about the maturity of Ja Morant and the maturity of the Memphis Grizzlies, or the lack thereof. That sounded to me like a real lack of maturity of somebody like, oh dear God, what else can go wrong for me? Well, the other day, you just filed suit against the other kid, and that was a stupid thing to do, to let a story keep going that, frankly, you put yourself in a bad situation to begin with by making that a story the first time around. The maturity factor, if you're asking me if I'm really worried about the Grizzlies, obviously Morant's health is one. Maturity is 1A right now.
Yeah, it's hard to look at Ja Morant as a sympathetic figure at all of this, even though it's an unfortunate break for the Memphis Grizzlies. We'll see what happens as the series continues to unfold. The x-rays were negative on Ja's hand, but it doesn't sound like he's going to play in game two on Wednesday night. But the other thing that's hard for me to digest, if I'm watching this series and I'm looking at the reaction to the Grizz after game one, Desmond Bane, what are you doing? Desmond Bane, why are you being critical of Rui Hachimura and say, oh, it's probably the best game of his career and let's see if he can do it again?
Again,
why are you doing that when you failed to show up? Like, your team needed you to show up in a big way because of Ja Morant's injury, and you were a ghost.
Yep.
Why are you disparaging an opposing player? First of all, one of the things you got to understand in postseason basketball ain't about the other guys. It's about your guys and focusing on your business, your plan for success. Now the Lakers have come into your building and stolen home court advantage with a game one win. And they're essentially money in a seven-game series when LeBron James is healthy all the entire series. They don't lose after they win game one. So I'm surprised that the Memphis Grizzlies are taking this kind of tack, this kind of tone after game one. I get that you got to have a swagger. You got to have that belief in yourself. But right now it's borderline arrogance. And going up against a more than capable opponent with championship DNA in the Los Angeles Lakers, I don't think Taylor Jenkins, their head coach, wants to hear that kind of nonsense. And I don't think that's the attitude that's going to allow them to take back control of this series.
That is the thing that, above all else, really concerns me right now about what's going on with Memphis. You couldn't have said it any better. And look, when the Lakers win game one, they have not lost a playoff series since 1991.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
That was Michael Jordan finals. That is pretty good. I am not tapping out because I think that would be gutless on my part.
I just think it's the financially responsible thing to do. Like, what would Cheryl say in this situation? Your wife would be disappointed that I extended this olive branch, a way for you to wiggle out of this bed somewhat with your wallet intact and your chin held high. Just admit you made a mistake. That's all you have to do.
No, I'm not doing that yet.
Okay.
Right. So
no Ja Morant in game two. Now, they haven't announced that, but if it comes out over the next couple of days that Ja Morant is not playing in game two,
I don't feel
good. You think there's a chance in hell that the Memphis Grizzlies can win four straight and for you to win the bet? Because keep in mind,
well, they don't have even to win four straight. They can win four out of five.
Well, I mean, if they don't, if Ja Morant doesn't play in game two,
they're going
to lose game two.
No,
they're going to lose game two. So you think the Grizz would be capable of winning four straight games? Because if it goes seven, I win, no matter who wins the series.
Yes.
If the Lakers win, I win the bet.
Yeah.
So do you feel confident if Ja Morant is ruled out in game two that the Memphis Grizzlies games 3 through 6 can win all of those games?
How could I feel confident?
Okay.
I wouldn't say I'm confident.
So that's my point. Take the buyout. Take the olive branch that I'm extending you and keep it pushing. Just admit you made a mistake.
No.
It's okay.
Not doing
it. It happens.
Not doing that.
All right.
Because I do think that they would have a chance without Ja in terms of game two. Not for the whole series. Hang on a second here. What is Memphis the last few years without Ja? They have played exceptionally well without Ja the last few years.
Wait a minute. Exceptionally well? No.
Last year they were like 20 and 5.
This season they are 11-10 without Ja Morant. But they are worst on the offensive end and the defensive end. Stop trying to do this whole narrative thing with the Memphis Grizzlies without Ja Morant.
One game?
Stop it. No.
Listen, if he's out for a lengthy part of this series, of course they're in trouble. If they lose game two, of course my bet's in trouble. Of course. All I'm saying is we know that I am not gutless, physically or, emotionally. And from that standpoint, I go down with the ship.
They say pride comes before the fall.
Well,
we're
taking a dive, Johnny.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. It's going to be a painful fall for
you. It is KT and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay and benefits, go to progressive.com/careers. Apply online today. We are just getting started. We've got some football to get to. We've got the Knicks to get to. We've got so much coming your way. Up next, there are three big New York football stars not checking in for off-season workouts. That's a problem. Greeny, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Greeny, the podcast.
ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly Martin joining us on set. First of all, we talk about the debacle of the Love is Blind situation last night.
Oh, man. Let me tell you guys, listen. First of all, the last week I've been in three different cities on different things, so I was already tired. But I was so committed. Like, I got to see things through. The amount of time I spent staring at that hang tight screen on Netflix was like, we'll be with you in 1 second. Yeah, but I watched it. I stayed up and I watched it, which is why.
It didn't go on until like midnight, right? Eastern?
No. It's like 9 something.
Okay.
It was supposed to start at 8. I don't think we were able to see it until like almost 9:30.
That is commitment for sure.
Did you stare at the screen the whole time?
You know what? I was doing some stuff, and I realized, I literally tweeted, like, I can't believe I've been staring at, like, the TV's been on this blank Netflix screen for over an hour. Like, what does this say about me as a human? And millions of other people. But, no, they teased us for so many weeks about, here's the reunion. Gosh darn it, I needed the reunion.
Well, what it says is that you're not alone, basically, as you just said. Because a lot of people not happy with Netflix today. It's why Bubba's out, I'm told by Cam. He's so devastated.
I heard Mina Kimes was very upset as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, people are trying to watch it now, and they said that you can't watch the re-air until, like, 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock this afternoon. They're, like, trying to get on Netflix now.
Come on.
This is... They are fumbling.
Thank God they did not get the NFL Sunday tickets.
Listen, we'd all be in trouble.
Right?
We'd all be in trouble.
Let's start with Saquon Barkley. He's not reporting for voluntary workouts, hasn't signed the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. Is it outlandish to think that there's a possibility that before the draft next week, the Giants might entertain trading him?
Oh, I think at this point, anything's on the table, right? They would obviously like to have him. The unfortunate thing about the Saquon situation is that both sides were talking during the season, and the Giants offered him more money, and he didn't want to take it, which is fine. That's totally his right. But now that he's on the tag, it's for less. I think in hindsight, he's probably wishing he had taken, you know, the 13, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, because at least you'd been in a better spot. But I think, unfortunately, the priority was clearly getting Daniel Jones locked up. We can debate whether that was the right priority or not. Depending, you know, people can feel however they want. But that was the priority for the Giants. If you're a team, to me, like, I would love to see Saquon in Buffalo. Like, I would love to see him.
That's the place I was thinking of, frankly.
You know, like, so could something happen? Sure. I think as of right now, the Giants would love to get him back under the fold. Like, get him signed and get a situation where they both are happy.
I don't see how that's
But you know
happen.
What I'm saying? But that's the problem. It's like somebody's got to give
yeah.
and concede when you're dealing with contracts. And I think Saquon just has to deal with it.
Yeah, going back to those negotiations during the season, it feels like the Giants, I guess, were willing to give Saquon that extra money just because there was so much uncertainty with what they were going to do with Daniel Jones. And the flexibility of having the franchise tag available
yeah.
would have
that's your fallback.
Would have made things a little bit more palatable in terms of giving Saquon Barkley an extra million on the average annual value of the contract that they ultimately ended up giving him. That's neither here nor there. My curiosity with Saquon's contract negotiation is how does that impact what happens with Dexter Lawrence moving forward?
Well, here's the thing. Even with the Jets and Giants, you've got a lot of guys that deserve to be paid.
Yeah.
There's only so much money that you can allocate to, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, but an all-pro defensive tackle, you got to pay that
guy. No, 1,000%. But that's what's so fascinating to watch because this is a new regime. And that's why I was curious what they would do with Daniel Jones as well. Like, what's the commitment there? What's the commitment to Saquon? Because these are two new guys coming in, realizing they have to restructure, rebuild, and instead they make the playoffs. Guys like Dexter Lawrence playing well, Saquon playing well, Daniel Jones playing better than we've seen, and now some tough decisions have to be made. I think Dexter Lawrence would not be a priority for them. I don't see how it can't. I think he has to be more of a priority than Saquon as far as where you're going to go.
What it is. Yeah.
That's the reality of the position.
Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us. Canty and Carlin on ESPN Radio in Fort Greene today. Quinnen Williams of the Jets, same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, at the moment, tied to what happens with Aaron Rodgers, however that contract gets worked out before they can actually get a deal done? And does that feel like something that they are going to be far apart on or not?
Well, we're about to see if they're going to be far apart. At the owners' meetings, Joe Douglas was saying, you know, there's no exact timeline on getting something done. But he did say that he had a very good conversation with Quinnen Williams' agent, Nicole Lynn. If you're Quinnen, well, I'm not going to put words in his mouth. I know if I were Quinnen, like, there's no exact timeline. Like, let's get this going. Because you see that Aaron Rodgers, like, all attention is focused on trying to get this trade done with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think one precludes the other. But I think if you're a player of Quinnen Williams' stature.
Meaning the best defensive tackle in all of football?
Like, I mean, like, when you talk, like, disruptor isn't even, like, a good enough word. Like, that guy was a straight-up beast last year. And why were the Jets this close to making the playoffs despite Zach Wilson, that whole thing, despite losing Mike White and all that? Because of that defense, you know, and Quinnen Williams is a big part of that. So if I think this, he is a priority and he should be a priority. The market is what it is. You got to pay these guys when they've shown that they deserve to be paid. I just think if it were me and our Quinnen, I'd be like, okay, I get that we need our quarterback, but we also need to pay up as well.
Talking to Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, and Kmart, we saw our guy DeAndre Hopkins on the All Things Covered podcast over the weekends. Let it be known on social media that he wasn't interested in a raise off of his current contract. Also, let it be known on the podcast that he has no interest in playing for the Patriots or the Jets. Mm-hmm. Would consider playing for the Bills or the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What ultimately ends up happening with DeAndre Hopkins in the days leading up to the NFL draft?
Well, I hope that for his sake, the Chiefs and Bills decide that they want. Because honestly, when I look at DeAndre Hopkins, I think a team that is on the cusp of being a legit contender. Like, that's the team. Like, to me, he's a luxury piece. But if you're a luxury piece, this again is the Odell thing. It's sort of like if you're a luxury piece, I'm not surprised that the Jets weren't willing to go where the Ravens went. It's like we would love to have you, but we don't necessarily need you. I was texting with the GM yesterday and said, you know, like, who wants DeAndre? Like, what's the market for this guy? And he said, nobody. Not at $19 million.
Wow.
Not at $19 million. And I think, you know, obviously quarterbacks would ask any quarterback in the league, would you want to have DeAndre Hopkins? Yeah, sure, because he's a proven stud. But when it comes down to when you factor in age, when you factor in the position, when you factor in roster constraints as a front office, as a GM, and you're trying to plan for now but also the future, that you might say, like, I don't really want to allocate that much money to this guy at this position when we have other roster concerns. I think he really is a luxury piece. I could see him with the Chiefs. You could see anybody with the Chiefs, right?
No doubt.
I think in Buffalo, yeah, that's another guy. I don't think Buffalo needs him.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that goes back to the luxury piece, and you're not paying 19 for that.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark, good stuff. Appreciate
it. Thank you, guys.
Kimberly Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us. Canty and Carlin in Fort Greene on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive can help you protect your home, auto, boat, motorcycle, ATV, RV, and more. And if something wasn't mentioned that you had in mind, find out if it can be covered at progressive.com at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, because it probably can be. All right. We saw a lot this weekend in game ones of the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
So let's get to Canty's top five things.
Hello.
He saw in game one. Hit the music.
Here's Canty with the top five.
Number five.
Do we have the number five sound?
Number five.
There we go. Kings, Warriors, big fella, by far the best game of the weekend. Sign me up for six more of those. 24 lead changes, 10 lead changes in the fourth quarter alone. The Stars played big. It was a back-and-forth ball game. Nobody had a lead that was bigger than 10 points, which is always entertaining. But, big fella, when it comes to the Stars,
yeah,
there was no star that was bigger than De'Aaron Fox.
Yep.
38 points in his playoff debut. Tied for the second most points in a playoff debut in NBA history. 29 of those points came in the second half. What do I say about competitive greatness? Being at your best when your best is required. That was De'Aaron Fox. It was outstanding to watch. And the best part about it is his wife was courtside there to celebrate with him the big win in Sacramento. And she's weeks off of delivering their first child.
Hmm.
Pretty awesome to have that scene if you're De'Aaron Fox. But that was the one of the best things I saw in game one of round one in the playoffs.
You know what? I thought Steph rushed the shot a little bit. I thought he had like another half second before he had to get it off.
Yeah. De'Aaron Fox did not rush that three-point down the stretch. He did not rush that shot. Yeah.
Next.
Number four.
Jalen Brunson's second half against the Cavs. Now, this was a guy that was limited to 9 minutes in the first half because he got into foul trouble, picked up two quick fouls in the first, another in the second, ends up having three fouls. Of course, Tibbs has got to sit him. That's no problem because he proceeds to drop 21 points in the second half, and the biggest of which happened to be that dagger inside a minute left off of the Isaiah Hartenstein offensive rebound. That was a huge play. Put the Knicks up for, and then Julius Randle flies in for another big offensive rebound down the stretch, which ultimately ended up sealing the game. The Cavs had the foul. They play that game, and they come up on the losing side of it. But an outstanding road win for the New York Knicks. This is not the same Knicks team that we saw a couple of years ago in the first round against the Atlanta Hawks. This is a different group, and Jalen Brunson is a big reason why. The way he controls the tempo of the game. The Knicks have not had a point guard that has that ability for a really long time. It's really impressive to watch.
Next.
Number three.
Playoff Jimmy. You know who he is. Big Face Coffee. Mr. Michelob Ultra. Yes, that guy. Playoff Jimmy.
How have we not heard from Amber Wilson yet?
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm expecting her to call in any second now. But Jimmy Butler dropped 29 points and 10 assists. Through the first three quarters. Huge upset win for the Miami Heat. And you realize it was a game that they had to have, big fella, especially with Giannis going out with that injury, that back contusion. They had to steal a game. They had to find a way to get home court advantage, and they did it in game one. Listen, the Bucks were the more rested team, but there's an argument to be made that they were the more rusty team. And the Heat took full advantage of that, and Jimmy Butler was front and center. And considering that he did a lot of that damage with Tyler Hero out of the lineup because of the broken hand, really impressive performance by Jimmy.
Look at us. You're saying nice things about the Heat.
I know. I'm not used to that.
Next.
That's
number
Kawhi
two.
Kawhi Leonard, 38 points on 54% shooting in 41.5 minutes played. I don't know which one is more impressive. His ability to do damage in the mid-range, the fact that he scored 38 points, the fact that he played over 41 minutes, or the fact that he held Kevin Durant without a field goal attempt in clutch time in the fourth quarter. The final 5 minutes of the game, KD didn't take a shot. Didn't take a shot. And Kawhi was the primary defender on Kevin Durant. I don't want to overreact to what I saw. But Kawhi Leonard, based on what I saw in that game, has now returned to being the best two-way player in the entire NBA. If he can defend the way that he showed yesterday, and he can score the way that he showed yesterday, the Clippers are a live dog to pull off the upset against the Phoenix Suns. That is just a fact.
I think we're done, aren't we?
Yeah, no, we got one more.
No, we don't.
We got one more.
We don't have
number
one.
One.
Here we go. The Lake Show. How could there not be number one? Right. Let's go. Let's go. Listen, the Lakers had four players, count them, four, to score 20-plus points. First time that's happened in a playoff game since 1988. That's a long damn time ago. L.A. outscored the Grizzlies 15-0 in the final 2 minutes and 40 seconds of the game. It was an impressive performance, and the fact that you had two other guys outside of LeBron James and Anthony Davis step up the way they did, Rui Hachimura knocking down open shots, and then you had Austin Reeves taking control of the game in the fourth quarter. I mean, fantastic performance by the Lakers. And at this point, how could you not see them as the team to beat in this series? Like, we knew that they were the favorites coming into this series, but now it would be a shock if they didn't win this series. And I don't know that we could have said that a week ago.
I thought we were done. We're not done?
No, we're done now. Those were the top five things I saw game one, round one of the playoffs.
I thought they were all going to be Laker related.
Did I have any glaring omissions?
No, I don't think so. I thought it was a pretty solid list. There was no glaring omissions. I will have bottom five things that we saw this weekend coming up a little bit later.
Can I give an honorable mention to one guy?
Sure.
Russell Westbrook.
I'll tell you,
I usually don't give honorable mention to a guy that shot 3-19
exactly.
from the field.
But
what he did down the stretch defensively and being able to get rebounds and block shot.
And ice the game by throwing the ball off.
It was Devin Booker. Yeah, it was just an impressive performance by Russ. And shout out to Ty Lue for having the confidence to stay with that guy even though he shot 3-19.
That's a great point because, listen, when he had gone, I think it was 3-15 at one point, and he goes to the bench, I didn't think we're seeing him again. And then you look up and he's coming in to take Kawhi's spot.
Yeah.
What are we doing? But you know what? He made those winning plays. You're right. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Knicks did take a major step forward toward exercising their Donovan Mitchell demons. Can it continue? We will discuss in moments.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8. SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
Brunson drives, floats it off the glass and in. 27 for Jalen Brunson.
He's a $200 million player. Like, he's a legit star. And I think he's, to me, put the Knicks in a position where win or lose this series. They look like they're a star away.
Looking forward to hitting Knicks Heat round two. Should be great. Canty and Carlin in for Greeny on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The free AutoZone Fix Finder service can help troubleshoot the likely cause of your pesky check engine light for free and help you save time and money down the road. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. All jokes aside, they were absolutely great the other day.
Yeah.
Absolutely great on Saturday. You had to be incredibly encouraged by what you saw. We understand that Randall being back obviously helped with, 19-10. Brunson was amazing, as he is. Canty, for me, it's Josh Hart. Mm. Josh Hart has been so much of a difference maker for this team and has made such an incredible impact. It just really changes the dynamic of everything in terms of their depth, in terms of all of it. That was a very, very good game one win for the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, you had three players off the Knicks bench that allowed you, that played 20-plus minutes. And that was the big difference to me in game one was the depth. Now, you didn't think that Jalen Brunson was going to get into early foul trouble and that you were going to have to play Quick as much as you did, but you had confidence that Quickly could step up because we've seen him in big spots. The one most notably, that performance, that outburst where he went for 40-plus against the Boston Celtics late in the regular season. So, I mean, the fact that you have so much depth, the fact that your bench was able to give you 37 points to the Cavs, 14 points off the bench, I thought was a huge difference in the outcome of that game on Saturday. Another big difference was the Knicks being able to pound the Cavs on the offensive glass. 17 offensive rebounds for the Knicks led to 23 second chance points. You can't give that up as a team and expect that you're going to win in the postseason in the NBA. The fact that the Knicks were able to out-hustle the Cavs in a lot of ways, offensive rebounds, defensively being able to force the turnovers. The Knicks had 26 points off of 14 Cavs turnovers. They didn't miss. When it came to getting steals, when it came to generating turnovers, they were able to turn those into points for – they were able to turn that into easy offense. And I think that's going to be the key for the Knicks in this series. Can their bench continue to give them substantial contributions, Josh Hart being front and center of that? Can they continue to win when it comes to the hustle stats? That means points off of turnovers and second chance opportunities on the offensive glass.
Well, that's the thing. 17 offensive rebounds. That's the one that really jumps out, especially when – an offensive rebound basically seals the game for you with Randle.
Two offensive rebounds at the end of the game because the Isaiah Hartenstein offensive rebound led to the Jalen Brunson 8-foot jumper, which is essentially the dagger.
Yep.
So, I mean, you had two offensive rebounds inside the last minute that decided the game.
Yep.
And those are the plays that you need. And here's the thing. You're getting offensive rebounds against Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, two outstanding rebounders. And, big fella, I will tell you this. Early on, I thought that game was going to go a different way because I thought the Cavs had a decided advantage inside. When I saw Evan Mobley miss his own shot in the middle of the lane, get the rebound over Mitchell Robinson and dunk it on his head, I was like, if he continues to play like that, and then you know what you're getting from Jared Allen, a double-double, like this is going to be a problem for the Knicks. But they were able to neutralize that pair by and large. Like the Knicks played big inside, and I just didn't expect to see that from the combination of Hartenstein, Julius Randle, and Mitchell Robinson.
So Jay Williams this morning on KJM giving you the Knicks' ceiling now in the playoffs.
The matchup between the Cavs and the Knicks, like, to me is so live just because so many Knicks fans, all they wanted was to go in for Donovan Mitchell. Like, I thought they should have went in for it. I thought they should have given up RJ Barrett and some other pieces. But hearing the chatter on social media about people revisiting that while I'm watching Jalen Brunson, who is the epitome of KISS, keep it simple, stupid, is what we say in basketball. 24-7 and the way Julius Randle played, yo, the Knicks could bind themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Only way that happens is if the Miami Heat beat the Milwaukee Bucks.
Exactly.
That's the only way that happens.
Yeah, and that has a lot to do with Giannis.
We'll have to see what ends up happening with Giannis. But, I mean, it's crazy to think that we're talking about the Knicks going on a deep playoff run, like getting out of round one. I just didn't think that they matched up well against the Cavs just because the Cavs have an all-NBA caliber player in Donovan Mitchell, and I thought the Cavs had the advantage inside. But that didn't bear itself out in game one.
And listen, let's not go revisionist history on it either because we were still talking about Donovan Mitchell after Jalen Brunson had already signed.
Yeah.
This was still very much a possibility.
Yeah, the Brunson move didn't preclude the Knicks from going after
Absolutely
Donovan
Mitchell. Absolutely not. Yeah. And so it's not a case of would I rather have one or the other. You ended up okay.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt.
But you could have ended up better.
Right.
And the whole point is, like, one of the big pieces that would have been included in a package for Donovan Mitchell would have been R.J. Barrett. And
Dear
he was
God.
Absolutely miserable on Saturday.
So
he was
bad.
Awful. 2-12 from the field. He was a self-check. They didn't even have to guard him on the perimeter.
Chris, he's still so, so young. And but if
what
if
is this, it, 2022?
23, maybe?
Yeah.
Did he hit 23? Anyway, he Chris, even if that's the case, like I was thinking to myself, God, if you put another 2 years on him and he had this contract and this was the performance, like that contract would be borderline untradeable.
It's a bad contract. It's a bad contract.
It really is right now. Having said all of that.
He's 22 years old.
There is nothing to feel bad about right now. You have to feel really good. And I would say that you could be as encouraged as you have been for a long time. A couple of years ago, was working your way back and getting into some positivity and then a step back. But right now you feel like, all right, we can win this playoff series. And I do think it's going to be a long series nonetheless, but you have to feel great about what transpired yesterday.
No doubt about it. The Knicks have more than a puncher's chance in this series.
There's no question they have that. So much more to come, including the five worst things that we saw over the weekend in the NBA playoffs. There were only five?
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcasts.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.